Housewife Show. Joining me are Pam Mitu and Tafiq Altan, also known as the Dancing Engineers. Thank you both for taking the time to chat with me today.
It's good to be here.
Before we get started on your dance stories, can each of you tell our listeners a little bit about yourselves? And, for example, we're interested in how you spend your time off the dance floor.
Well, I'm an electrical engineer, and I've been doing software for almost all my professional life. So, other than that, most of my free time is dancing. I'm pretty much at the studio 5 or 6 days a week.
Okay. Where are you from?
I am from Turkey.
Okay.
I had my education in Turkey. I worked a couple years as well. And then at the end of 2000, at the height of the dot-com boom, I applied for jobs in the Silicon Valley.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, and things were still hot, so I got an offer. I waited for my visa to be issued. I hopped on a plane and arrived at San Francisco Airport.
Oh, wow. So you were originally in California, and what brought you to Atlanta?
I worked there for exactly a year, but it was a very tumultuous year. The dot-com crash was happening
okay.
in 2001. So the company decided to close the offices in California and merge it with the with another office in Florida, and they moved all of us to Alpharetta, Georgia.
Okay.
I took the offer, and since then, in 2002,
the rest is history. Divine intervention, because you met your dance partner. Pam, I know you're a chemical engineer and you work for the Coca-Cola company. Tell me what you do there.
So I work in research and development for global R&D, and I focus on just about every product as well as equipment globally. So things like Coca-Cola Freestyle, probably a new Powerade flavor. You've probably experienced a lot of my work.
Yeah, probably. You have an interesting story, how you came to the dance floor, how you came to ballroom dance. Can you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, picture it, 1976. Okay, wait, I just told my age. I wasn't born. No, just kidding. Actually, I wanted to be a gymnast. I remember seeing Nadia Comaneci in the Olympics that year.
Okay.
And I used to do cartwheels down the street. And then I also wanted to be a dancer, too. And I remember I took one ballet class, and somehow my knee hurt. I got a CAT scan. They said I had a cyst on my knee. And then my southern mother said, oh, no, we can't work with that. So my dreams were dashed from that point on. But I've always wanted to dance. And I always had that in the back of my mind. But I knew, since I didn't start at six, you know, what dance could I do?
Right.
You know, sister got rhythm. I mean, what can I say?
Right.
Can I street dance? Yeah. But then, you know, just a series of illnesses. There was a period of time I couldn't walk. Then I couldn't walk without the aid of a cane. So finally, you know, during my 30s, which was my decade of discovery, I said, you know, I got to start dancing. And then I had a big health scare.
Okay.
And then I finally said, you know what? I'm just going to Google it. And that's what I did. Ballroom dancing in Atlanta. And that's how I found my studio 3 years ago.
Yeah, 3 years. You and I both started dancing about the same time. I actually remember meeting you for the first time over in the studio, and I thought you were shy. I was very wrong. So, Tafiq, what drew you to the ballroom?
Well, my story's a little funny. I was still in Turkey. I was recently graduated from the college, and started working at this company. And I took a friend, a female friend, out one evening, and there was good music, and then I offered to dance. And we went on the floor. Apparently, I couldn't dance, or it wasn't the pleasant one. I don't know. So she said I had no sense of rhythm. Like, what?
you were in denial, right?
Yeah, I can't take a failure easily. I can't do that. So I started looking for classes. Luckily, my college had weekend classes, so I signed up. I remember the first one was cha-cha. We did a little rumba. even Quickstep was on the agenda. I don't know how it's not a beginner dance. So.
Right, right.
And then on top of that, I also signed up to another studio outside the campus. So I was going to those classes for about like 6 months, and then I moved to the U.S. In California, I continued to dance for my full year there. I was at the Stanford campus most of the time.
Okay.
Like Argentine tango, salsa, Turkish folk dance.
Okay.
Wait a minute. You're a ringer. You're a ringer.
Yeah.
You have far more dance experience.
That wasn't as serious.
I think we're having the first of our partnership quarrels here in the studio, folks.
That wasn't as serious.
That was social dancing.
It was mostly social.
Mm-hmm. You were a prodigy. You've got 16 years of practice. No. I've been telling everybody you're a prodigy.
Pam, you can't take credit anymore.
As soon as I moved here, I told you that the economy was already in bad shape.
Right.
The company was laying off right and left. So I couldn't continue. I had to focus on work. Mm-hmm. Other stuff happened, and then I gave a huge break to my dance experience, and then a year before today, let's say April of last year.
Okay, so April 2015.
A little before that, I started going to salsa clubs to dance.
Okay,
mostly to socialize, I would say.
Okay.
And then one day I couldn't find any activities. I was bored. I looked up meetup.com and I saw this salsa class. It was a Thursday. And then I came to Dance Tonight. That's how it started.
So you have never competed at this point. You've never competed. I know you did a showcase with Pam.
Yes.
You did the group dance, the formation, and that was back in, but Pam, you have been competing pro-am for almost 2 years.
No,
three years. For the folks listening who might not know, can you explain the difference between pro-am or professional amateur and am-am partnerships?
Yes. So, I mean, in the plain nuts and bolts situation, the pro-am, I'm the amateur, and typically your teacher is the pro, and you dance as a partnership, and in competition, you're the only one, the amateur is the one being evaluated.
Okay.
And pro-am, in my opinion, is much more stringent, and I'll talk about that contrast when I explain am-am.
Okay.
Am-am is a little bit different. Am-am, amateur-amateur, are basically two regular Joes, like this engineer from Turkey over here and this engineer from Georgia over here, who are going to get out and dance, you know, what they play our jam, then we're going to, you know, do some things. But am-am is really just two regular people out there trying to stay on time to music and entertain. Pro-am to me is more nerve-wracking because it's sort of like dancing with your parent or a teacher, because you can't really just dance. You're like, oh, did I do this right? Did I do this wrong? I'm going to hear about this when we get back to the studio. And so it's less able to dance. Am-am, we're just doing our own thing, but then you're flying without a net.
Right.
There is no...
Right.
Do you know the rhythm of the music? Can you keep time? What are you doing? I don't know.
Right. Yes. But yeah, I agree with you. I dance pro-am and am-am with the dancing doc, as you know. And I would agree 100% with you, Pam. When I dance pro-am, I feel like I'm not just under the scrutiny of the judges, but also my pro, who is my teacher. And it adds another level of stress. And you know, you're constantly being told, just dance, or be free, just dance. But it's hard when you feel like all that scrutiny.
I will say this, and this is where, hopefully in 2017, my goal is to do this. When I dance with David, my teacher, socially, magic, what? Fire, okay? So I have to get into that mindset. I mean, everything that he has put and instilled in me technique-wise happens. He's leading me in crazy stuff and I'm following. So I've just got to, like, not think of him as my teacher. That is my biggest barrier.
Right.
Is he's a teacher. But then I say, nope, this is just a social party. So, actually, AMM, I'm very selfish in this decision to do AMM. Because my goal is to be the best dancer I can be. And I want several national titles. So the more I can dance,
the more. Right.
Exactly. And actually, AMM requires me to be more responsible.
Right.
So therefore, I can't rely. A teacher can help you win.
Right. Exactly.
And you don't know what the heck you're doing. So.
Right.
Yeah, I need to be fully responsible and accountable. I owe that to my instructor. If he's teaching me that, then I need to know everything to the best of my ability.
Right.
And then he can teach me more.
Right. I agree with you. So now I want to hear the behind-the-scenes story of how you two ended up deciding to create this amateur partnership. Because you, Tavik, have no competitive experience.
Nothing.
And so you were just sort of a happy clam dancing all
exactly.
the social classes and doing your metal testing
right.
and then comes along Pam here. And tell me how whose idea was it?
It was Pam's.
I figured. Did it take
Call
much work? Oh, wait.
Hold
okay,
it.
Interrupt. Okay.
Amateur yes was my idea. The partnership creation actually was him.
Oh, okay.
Because I couldn't remember. I just said in passing, now that you were, remember you dropped
maybe,
my memory. And so I'm going to tell the story.
Okay, all right. So sorry,
I was asking the question, how did we, I don't remember. I just keep seeing you showing up. And then he said, what did I say at the end of a class you said?
You said we should practice together.
Yeah, I was being Midwestern.
Right.
I was thinking, oh, okay, yeah, we'll dance in between classes.
Practice together. That's right,
yeah.
Because at first you guys were practice partners.
Yeah.
That's
so
right.
I'm thinking, yeah, let's show up 10, 15 minutes before class, we'll dance. Next thing, okay, when will we get together?
Oh, the calendar was out.
I was like, oh.
You were scheduling that engineer brain came out.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I'm here every Saturday. Okay. Oh, 2 hours? Oh, okay.
So what? We began scheduling.
Yeah. So that's how that went down.
Okay. All right. I got it.
That's
okay. But, I think I kind of recall, and for the listeners, Tavik and Pam and the dancing doc and I all dance out of the same studio. So I have had the joy and privilege of watching this whole partnership evolve. And I do remember them being practice partners. But I'm curious, like, when did it go from we're just going to practice to, okay, we're hitting the competition floor? Because that... I feel like that probably took some coercion on Pam's part.
God, yes. So, yes. Yes.
Not a lot of coercion.
No explanation. Not coercion. You were willing. But he was overthinking it.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
I said...
Well, he's an engineer.
With the way I am, too. With the way we attack practice and metal testing, what's the difference? So, I remember I mentioned it, and I said, well... Not trying to manage your money, but you got to invest in some private lessons. We've maxed out everything we can do alone. You got to invest in some private lessons. That went on for months. I said, you know what? Then I said, you know what? Let me ask him what his Myers-Briggs personality profile
is. Oh, okay.
Is.
We did the Myers-Briggs. Okay.
Then I understood. Because I'm asking, and then when I saw... no action, I said, oh, maybe he's not interested. But every time I mention it, he says yes. Then I recall you had your car for 15 years and it
yeah.
took a breakdown of air conditioning during the hottest summer in Georgia before
yeah.
you finally decided to get a new car.
So are you the epitome of procrastination?
I'm a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
A
yeah.
bit? Or
a little
bit. A little more than a bit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know I have a significant personality and I did not want to project my wishes on, but the action said, I think he's down with the program.
Right.
Finally, I said, you know what? If this is going to happen, I'm going to have to lay it out and make it easy. And I gave a speech. I said, listen, if you don't agree, this, I'm cool.
For the listeners, Tamik is laughing quietly, but hysterically right now.
And that's when I said, we should am, am, and I laid out the vision, and then I immediately typed and sent David in a group Facebook message and said, and then I outed him, like, this is what we've selected you as our coach, and we look forward to scheduling private lessons.
Bam.
That lit a fire on his Turkish butt.
Okay.
So now I know that from a driving perspective, from a laying it out perspective, that's my job. That's my lane.
Right.
And I'm okay with that.
Right.
Because he's okay with
that. So it's kind of like a marriage where there's a division of labor. You're willing, but you just need her to get it going. You just need her to set the stage and to schedule it and to tell you when to be there.
Yeah,
what
last
time.
Week I was called a dance husband, so I guess it's not
the
show.
I think it is. Okay.
Yes, but things changed. So we were very hardcore practice partners. I was happy with that. We could continue to do that. I saw a benefit, you know. I don't waste my time on people who don't add value. I don't. So you should feel privileged. So, but with that said, now that it's amateur time, you know, playtime is over. I never pressured about technique. Now it's about technique.
Right.
You know,
right.
Now it's, okay, is your chest up? Is my feet out? What are we doing? And it's a different game.
Right.
So, you know, and it's a remembrance. So I'm like, hey, if you see my chest like sinking, tell me. You know, life weight process, lift it up.
So that is a great segue into a question that I had. I was going to ask a little bit later, but it seems like this is a good time. So, how have things changed? So your training has changed since you were just quote-unquote practice partners, and now that you have this, you're preparing for amateur competition, how have you, aside from, you know, the focus on technique, how else has it changed? What's changed? I mean, you seem to be in the studio a lot, but what else has changed? Are you doing anything outside of the studio? Are you doing anything in terms of fitness? Are you doing any... what else has changed?
Well, we have always taken the practice session seriously.
Right.
It wasn't like just whatever. But, you know, I think lately, like Pam said, we have more emphasis on the technique because that's what matters on the dance floor.
Right.
We always wanted to do the routines right. We watched the DVD apps, videos over and over.
Right.
It wasn't just, you know, do the feet work and then footwork.
So you're not just dancing patterns anymore.
Yeah,
it's more about execution.
More. And the partnership, how we look.
And I, you know, Pandora's box got open. So, you know, it's not uncommon for him to get a 4 o'clock Facebook message from me with either an article or, hey, these are the tips you might want to consider. Hey, consider this, you know, do that. This is the notes that I took. Did you write that down? You know, so, or even in the middle of the day, hey, this may be helpful for you. The other thing, you know, what gets written, what gets done.
Right.
So
you guys write down here.
I started writing down with our first private lesson.
Good.
So now I have
a dance journal as well.
Extensive journal,
Exactly. So it's really we'll call it, you know, he's got more access to my secret weapon.
Oh, speaking of secret weapons, let's talk about the hashtag root cause analysis is our jam. So, Pam is a prolific Facebook status poster and has a lot of followers. And so we're encouraging her to start a dance blog and to join the ballroom village of dance bloggers, which I think is going to happen. She's nodding and smiling.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. But this hashtag has appeared in her status several times, and she's made several references to this root cause analysis process or procedure or way they solve problems, which, you know, when I hear root cause analysis, I'm like Charlie Brown listening to his teacher. I hear like, womp, 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 womp. So tell me exactly, the dancing engineers, what exactly are you doing when you employ root cause analysis in fixing your dance problems?
I mean, it really is, I think it's because it's a common language for us from an engineering perspective.
Right.
Okay.
And if something is going wrong, you know, we develop a hypothesis. We'll test that hypothesis. Now, I will just test it in my head. You know, this one keeps doing, don't do the wrong thing to prove the hypothesis. Let's do the right thing to prove the hypothesis, because we're going to get bad habits. But we do break it down and slow it down. And one of the things that I had to teach Mr. Fast here, we got to go slow.
Yeah, in fact, this is the Facebook status that had me in tears. And I quote from Pam, "I had to chuckle at myself just now. I was messaging Tafiq Altan about our dance practice plans to work out issues with Viennese waltz, and I wrote to him, once we practice slowly, we can test some hypotheses in our root cause analysis. And I have to tell you, that is just not something you hear out of the mouths of ballroom dancers. It is just not.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that, you know, people say opposites attract, but you guys have a lot in common
right. Because
of your engineering backgrounds. I would say, do you think that makes you more or less compatible as dance partners?
I'd say more.
Much more.
More?
I think it's going to make us a significant force to be reckoned with.
I
am circuit.
I do not doubt that. I absolutely do not doubt that. Another way that you guys are alike, or another common characteristic you have, is competitiveness. Again, referencing Pam's Facebook status, and I quote, "That moment when you discover your am-am partner is even more competitive than you are." And there was a little meme with the guy, what is his name?
Mr. Burns.
Mr. Burns.
Excellent.
Yes. But Pam, you tell me, even though you're both competitive, that you're competitive in different ways. Tell me what exactly provoked you to make this status.
Well, I would say if this were a cop film, he's the good cop and I would be the bad cop.
Oh, okay. All right. So you both want to get the
hard
job done.
The hard nose, you know, like,
okay.
Look, we don't have time to play. He's like, well, hey, okay, all right. No, we gotta get focused. But that is in the process. So whether, like, we're practicing in a group class and, you know, he's doesn't want to move too big in his steps for Foxtrot for fear of me getting run over, which it's really great, gentlemanly. But guess what? We're looking crazy in our technique. So things like that is, don't worry about me. I will take care of me. Well, I don't want to step on your foot. Step on my foot. That'll teach me to move. You know, so it's just that whole politeness. So the for me, the journey is the competitiveness, meaning if we put everything we in, do whatever we need to do to get there. But game day, this one right here is on a whole different frame.
Yeah.
He's got no patience.
He's a crazy person.
Yes. He's like, no, this is not time for people to ask questions. Let's get to it. I was loving it. I'm like, yes.
So you're sort of you compete before you ever get to the competition.
Yes.
And he's kind of the laid back one.
Yeah, he's
Mr. Polite. And then you guys get to, you know, the showcase or metal testing, and he turns into like the crazy person.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're more like, this is what we got. It's not going to change at this point. Yeah.
No, okay. I'm actually looking very much for, and then as a, you know, one of the things I also did say, I will have to, you know, jokes aside and everything, I look at what a person does. You know, there's a lot of chatter, a lot of people say a lot of things. And I've not tested him. I don't test you per se, but somehow you crept up and got a lot of my time because you're delivering. I'm like, see, if this were a job or a project team, I'm like, yeah, he needs to be on my team.
Right.
So he'll get it done. He'll handle his part and hold up his end of the bargain.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I've got to hold up my end of the bargain. And when you have that kind of symbiosis going, 1 + 1 = 5.
Right. It's like the Gestalt principle.
Well, I'm very eager to see, because now, you know, we have maxed out on steps. We can pretty much, he can lead me in anything from a mechanical execution. Now, what we're going to bring up, because P-Sizzle, you know how I do. When it's time to perform.
Yeah, are we P-Sizzle and T-Sizzle?
No, well, Turkish Delight.
Turkish Delight, that's right.
Okay. So what, for me, what I see our coaching on is technique, so that whatever his persona is. Because I'm very curious. It's one of the reasons I selected David as our coach, because who is Tavith going to be on the dance floor? Because we already know who I am. I'm fire. So, and I feel like that contrast is going to provide a very interesting thing for people to watch, because the competition day is really a performance day. I compete on the process. I'm not competing that day. It's really around what show we're going to put on and how many times do we need to put it on.
So,
I'm very curious to see your dance persona and how that manifests. I have some ideas.
We will both see. I mean, I don't know, because I've never competed.
Right.
And, you know, even though Pam told that I'm chill on a competition day, I'm still a little stressed because I have this responsibility to execute properly.
Right. And so, and men have a big responsibility. I mean, we women are following, but you are, even though you're working with choreographed routines, there are things that happen on the dance floor.
Have to manage.
That you have to manage, and that's your responsibility, because as an amateur couple, you guys are both judged on your lead and follow skills.
Exactly.
And so that's it's just different, but it's fun, and I think you guys are going to have fun and do great. And which what are you... I never asked you this, and I didn't know, because you practice everything. So what is your plan in terms of competition? Are you going to start with one style? Are you going to start with both styles? Are you going to do club dances? I know in USA Dance, there are some competitions that have single club dances. So what's your plan? What are you going to start with?
I think we're starting with rumba and cha-cha.
Okay.
Since I've never danced, I'll be a newcomer.
Okay.
So I think there's a limit to stuff that we could try in the very first competition.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll judge ourselves how we looked.
Bless his heart. Bless
his heart.
And see where we go from there.
Okay.
I have plans.
You have plans. Pam is just shaking her head.
I have plans. I just got to let him get comfortable right now with
these
things.
Yeah.
But I am also very interested in, since you mentioned the club dances.
Right.
Competing club dances too.
West Coast, Hustle, Salsa.
Exactly. We intend to also attend Atlanta Swing Classic next
year. Oh, okay.
So
great.
That might be the first competition that we'll try with our club style.
All right, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you if you guys have any funny dance stories to share since you've become partners. You're both laughing and grinning, so I know there are some. The question is, are they... My rating on iTunes is clean, so just so you know, these have to be stories acceptable by iTunes clean rating. Oh, otherwise, they won't let me... No, I'm just kidding. So... anything that you care to share, or is that something we need to save for later?
I'll let Pam tell, because she's a better storyteller.
All right, Tamika. No funny. Oh, okay. They don't want to share. This could be a bit like life's most embarrassing moment. So we'll get some. I'm sure we'll get some. So when... okay.
Well, they accuse me of having a dirty mind. I don't. But I do happen to say, like, well, that's what she said.
That's what he said. Okay. And unfortunately, ballroom dance language does provide for ample opportunity
for those kind of jokes.
Yes. Like, give me your left boob. That's what she said. Yeah.
That's not what he said.
All right, well, we'll leave it at that, because I think if I say boob, I can maintain my clean rating, but I'm not sure, Pam, with the look you have on your face, if I should let this funny story part
go any
further.
We'll have more.
Okay. So, you've been practicing now for how many sessions have you had?
Privates?
Yeah.
Four.
Well, Tavik, I don't know how much time you spent on Facebook, but after your second session... this just really, really warms my heart, because it's very important in partnerships. But after your second couples coaching with David, I don't know what happened, but it prompted this quote. I'm from Pam on Facebook for all the world to see. I'm really looking forward to see how our dancing and Am-Am partnership will evolve under the David's creative hand. I have a partner I trust and respect implicitly, so this journey will definitely be a fun one. And I think that was very sincere and very heartfelt. And For those people out there who ballroom dance, you know that trust and respect is really critical because, you know, especially in an amateur partnership, when you are looking to each other for correction and like you're looking to Pam to help you and Pam's looking to you to help her, if you don't have mutual trust and respect, it is a very slippery slope. I've seen people fight and argue and get angry and get oversensitive, and the fact that you guys work so well together, the engineering and root cause analysis aside, you know, you guys, I see you in the studio, and that's just, that's a really nice thing, and I just am happy to see that.
We grow together. I mean, Pam has 3 years plus more experience than I do. But we still, I feel we still grow together, we provide feedback. No one is like hurt because it's not like to put blame or anyone.
Right.
You know, 90% of the time it could be me, because, you know, it's...
my other thing that I say all the time, and I have to manage Mr. Altan here, words have power. And I constantly speak words of life. Even in my lessons, you know, if something screws up, I will, but hey, stand on my feet.
Right.
You know, you have to speak because there's too many things we don't know how to do. How about what went right?
Right, exactly.
And I was noticing, you would say things like, well, I don't want to, you know, is that going to be too much or I don't want to distract you? And I said, you know what? Let me be very clear on... one, I don't do anything I don't want to do. And two, I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't have the trust and respect. So that you don't have to worry about, should I ask? What's something to consider? Because then, see, that frees your mind to go and focus on dancing.
That's true.
Right.
So it's just that to me is implicit. And then two, you don't hear that enough. You know, it's too much stuff. If let's say we go, I have zero... how should I say it? Because I think I told you this about our AMAM. I said, as long as we have put in all the time that we did and worked to our best of our ability, whatever happens is what happens.
Right.
I never get like, oh, I should. I mean, who don't want to win? Of course.
Right.
Maybe one, two, three. You know, of course. But if I've walked off the floor in pro and I'm like, oh my gosh, I just killed that. And I got a fourth, but it was a competitive. I didn't care. I'm like, I don't care what judges say. So from a standpoint of when you know you did and gave everything that you can, that's why I have my spreadsheet. That's why I know how many times I've danced. I've danced every single dance in combination over 1,600 times. So I don't have to say to myself, did I do everything I could to prepare for today?
Right.
And that's what I have to do. And I needed to make him reassured, like, this isn't, you're not the weak link. You know, you don't understand. I dance with a lot of people. You're a real good lead.
You have some
natural ability that with the right coaching, which is what we will have, I can't even wait to see. I don't even have a picture in my mind of what it'll be, but I know it's going to be good.
Sure.
I feel like the contrast, because I'm very earthy and organic and, you know, kind of gritty and, you know, I really can see, I think it could be, but I don't know. If there was a movie with Laurence Olivier and Marilyn Monroe, and it was, I think the something in the showgirl. Of course, I'm the showgirl, and and he was had a little monocle, and he was very. I'm like, and people will misjudge you. They're gonna think, oh my gosh, we don't have to worry about them, and then bam, bam.
Fine.
That is what I want, because to me, the character, your persona, and you walk in that. That's what ballroom is. The steps we got. And the whatever, but we're fun to watch because that is what comes through. And by focusing on technique, I want to make sure everything else, even when I sucked and it was horrible, purple, whoa. But I was always entertaining to watch, even when I didn't know what the heck I was doing.
Right.
So
you guys are very entertaining to watch now, even in the Monday night class. I mean, you're entertaining. We look at Penn, we're like, what are they doing over there? So, no, you're very fun to watch. And in fact, I cannot wait to catch your debut, which will be when and where?
February 2017.
Okay.
Alabama Open.
Yep, Birmingham.
Yep. Birmingham. Yes. Yep.
Well, our dress rehearsal will be at the team match.
Dance Tonight team match.
Yep. That's correct.
January. I will be at both of those. I will be in Birmingham with the Dancing Doc, and we will be screaming your number, Tweek, and your names, the Turkish Delight and Peace Sizzle.
Thanks for your
and we're excited. We're just excited to have another couple from the studio to travel around the country with and dance in these amateur competitions.
It'll be fun.
Well, the real question that I have, which we'll only be able to answer after your first competition, and Pam might take a little coercion, is will we see you, Tafik, in Swarovski crystals?
Doubtful.
Well, thanks again for joining me, Pam and Tavik. These are the Dancing Engineers. Folks, it's a wrap. Until next time, keep on dancing.